Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. I'm Bree Woods, and I'll be your lovely host this week as we present to you the second episode of a five-part original series, Cash for Carnage, written by local playwright Khalif J. Gillette. In the last episode, Detective Nguyen introduced us to her biggest case. Dead bodies have been disappearing from the anatomy lab at the University of...
Redacted.
We also met her prime suspects, Dr. Joyner, Noreen Alcorn, Montreal Monty Dubois, and Esperanza Noguera.
Will Detective Nguyen put all the pieces together before it's too late? Stay tuned and find out. But before we dive into our show, let's hear a little about the creation of Cash for Carnage from our playwright, Khalif J. Gillette.
And I am speaking with Khalif J. Gillette. This is the writer of Cash for Carnage. Khalif, is this your first radio play with Kansas City Actors Theater?
This is, and it's my first radio play in general.
So Cash for Carnage, it sounds like it lived before in some form, before it was turned into a radio play. What was it before this?
So Cash for Carnage, when I was in high school, I wanted to do a musical, and the drama teacher was like, we don't have money for that. So if you can write a musical, we can do a musical. So I wrote a musical, and it was very bad. It was a jukebox musical called Cash for Carnage, and it was basically the story that you hear now, but it just had a bunch of random songs in it that didn't belong. There was like Paramore and Radiohead, all this stuff. It was wild.
It was a musical. I can't believe that. You have a musical about dead bodies and cadavers. That's crazy to me.
If Sweeney Todd can do it, so can I.
I proudly present to you Cash for Carnage, Episode 2, Catching Mice.
Detective Jennifer Nguyen, July 1999. I took this case from Detective Jackson Vega, an old mentor of mine. He retired and his files were a mess. And not to say the student has surpassed the teacher, but I'm having to piece a lot of his work together. A lot of which has been redacted for God knows why. The following recording is a tape from when he tried to take down Esperanza Noguera the first time. The following tape is from a very different woman than who her track record would lead you to believe she is. The following tape is from 1993.
This is Detective Jackson Vega in question with suspect Esperanza Noguera. Where are the bodies, Esperanza? Oh, give me a break with the crying, will you? That old helpless dame act isn't going to help your case. I know the type of sick and disgusting person you are.
I am a doctor. All I wanted was to help people. I have never done anything illegal, and I would never do anything that would shame my family's name. You must believe me, Detective. When my grandfather gifted me the Willed Body Program, which was the first of its kind, I worked tirelessly to build its reputation from nothing. I got us printed in...
Redacted.
Magazine. We were on the cover of back-to-back issues of
Redacted
Monthly.
And then you got greedy and decided that the fat salary in university was paying you wasn't enough.
No, it was that snake Augustus. I taught him everything he knows, and then he betrayed me, took advantage of me, and sullied my good name.
You did that on your own, Esperanza. You modern women love to preach about how you're in charge of your destiny and the agency and the blah, blah, blah. Then when you mess up, the first person you want to blame is a man.
Detective, they are calling me a monster. But I was only trying to repay the world of science for all it has given me.
Yeah, okay.
Could I ask you something off the record, Detective?
And that's where the tape ends. That tape was from 1993. This is the only time I've ever heard Esperanza's voice. A very empathetic voice. This is who I know her to be off of paper. So why does such a wicked reputation precede her? It was early morning of November 8th, 1998, when I had arrived to the University of...
Redacted.
Lab. Run by Dr. Augustus Joyner. There, I found he and a Mr. Montreal Dubois.
Hello?
Is Dr. Joyner here?
That is me.
Hello, Dr. Joyner. I'm Detective Jennifer Nguyen, and I'd like to ask you some questions.
How can I help you, Detective?
There have been some reports about a missing cadaver from this facility.
That was just a prank by some students.
Monty, I've got this. Go prep the tools for class.
Okay.
A prank, Dr. Joyner?
Yes, a prank by some of my students.
I take it these kids never heard of TPing a house?
I assure you those students will not be returning to this program.
Do all of your students have access to this lab after hours?
Some of my students like to work late for extra research, so I make the lab available to them for a large window of time.
Unsupervised?
Well, I'm here most of the day.
So you were here on the day they took the cadaver as a prank?
Well, not on that day. On that particular day, I went to lunch with a colleague.
And who is this colleague?
A professor from the School of Law. Detective Jennifer, was it?
Detective Nguyen will be just fine.
Detective, is this really a pressing issue, or are things slow downtown?
Well, considering this is not the first time we've had dealings with this lab, it is pretty pressing. Are you familiar with this someone by the name of Esperanza Nogueira?
The name rings a bell.
Oh, does it?
Yes. Her name is on the side of the building, or did you miss that on the way in?
I must have. When was the last time you've seen Miss Nogueira?
Not in a long while.
Well, I don't know if you know, but your friend Esperanza...
She's not my friend.
Well, your not friend has been involved with some rather shady associates on the East Coast, in Chicago, South America, and has even possibly made her way back here to good old Los Angeles.
Is that so? Well, as I said, I have not seen her in years.
All right. Well, take my card, Dr. Joyner. My office phone and pager code are on there.
I won't be needing that. I'm sure Esperanza won't be showing her face around here.
Take it anyway. People like her, who have done terrible things, have a habit of making their way back to where they know there's food. Like mice. So, if you see anything or hear any squeaks about, don't hesitate to call.
Will do, Detective.
Have a nice day, Dr. Joyner. And your friend, too.
I don't like this. How is a cop showing up 5 minutes after Esperanza leaves?
She doesn't know anything. It's just a bit of serendipity that she shows up because of that prank.
I can't be getting involved with police stuff, Dr. Joyner. I'm trying to get my little sister out of foster care.
Relax, Monty. Nothing's happened yet. Why don't you take the day off? You'll be starting classes soon, so go enjoy your freedom while it lasts.
I'm trusting you here, Dr. Joyner.
And I'm trusting you. Now, go on.
And so Monty did. He had a blossoming future and $1,500 burning a hole in his pocket. Naturally, he treated the most important person in his life out to a day of luxury. Subject, Aaliyah Dubois. 9 years old. A precocious little miss destined to become president of these United States. But only if life doesn't crush her spirit before hope can make its way in.
And then they made them go on a camping trip to try to get their parents to get married again, but the mom, the British lady, decided not to go, so they were stuck with the dad and the evil girlfriend, so the whole time they were playing tricks on the evil lady and... Ew, Monty, chew your food.
Girl, shut your mouth and eat. Ain't it good, though?
Yeah, it's good.
I told you it would be better than some stupid McNuggets.
I didn't say all that. This steak didn't even come with a toy.
But it came with caviar.
What is caviar?
You don't want to know. Where's the gratitude, Aaliyah? Where's the thank you, big brother, for the new clothes, expensive meal, and the bestest Disneyland thrills of my 9-year-old life?
Thank you, Monty.
You're welcome. Now you can go back and rub it in Mrs. Thompson's kids' face.
How do you afford all of this?
For my new job.
They must be giving you a lot of money.
They are. And I'm also going to start going to school there, too.
School? Again?
Yeah, it's the medical school this time, so I can try to become a doctor.
That's good. You always wanted to become a doctor.
Why you say it all sad? Aaliyah.
I'm not really hungry anymore.
What's wrong?
The kids at Miss Thompson always ask me too many questions.
Questions like what?
The same ones people always ask. Why are you in foster care? Do your parents not love you? Are your parents dead? And I never know what to say.
You tell them it's none of their business. Yes, your parents love you, and no, they're not dead.
Then why aren't they here?
Because people make mistakes and make the wrong decisions sometimes. But I'm here, and I love you, and that's never gonna change, all right?
Are you going away since you're gonna be in school again?
Of course not. I'll be going to school right here in LA this time. And I'm going to be able to get us an apartment together so you won't have to live with Miss Thompson anymore.
Her kids stink.
Yeah, well, you just make sure you don't.
When will you get the apartment?
Soon, I hope.
How soon?
I don't know, Aaliyah. But I will bring you home to your own room, okay?
Okay.
Finish your food.
Family is everything. Besides the triangle, it's one of the strongest structures in nature. But it can also be the weakest if not properly taken care of and defended. So we need people who will uphold that structure no matter what.
Augustus, are you here?
Noreen? What are you doing here? I thought we couldn't do lunch because you were meeting with a client.
I was too upset to meet with them. I thought I'd come here and look at your messy lab to make me feel better.
Ha ha.
But it looks like things have turned around. Augustus, this is a whole new facility. That lab assistant of yours needs a raise.
Monty is certainly a big help. The supply room is cleaned and my files are getting organized. I can think more clearly and I just know that this is the month that I figure out this new procedure.
For once, I believe you.
So, what is it that's got you so upset, Noreen?
Oh, it's ridiculous. My family law class. You know how I present my students my old cases without telling them how I approach them. And then I always ask them, what would you do if you were the counsel here?
And?
And there's always one case that the students almost always agree that the mother in question should not be given custody of her son, and that the son should be put into foster care. No one ever entertains the idea or plays devil's advocate for the possibility that this mother should keep her child.
Did she keep her child?
She did, because I'm a great lawyer. And I believe that a child belongs with their parent, yet my students will all see something that I didn't.
What's the harm in that?
The front page of this morning's newspaper was that woman. Her child burned alive in a house fire when she went out with some friends and left him there alone with a candle burning near some curtains.
Noreen.
Augustus, everyone saw she was an unfit mother but me. And now a child is...
We all make mistakes. But that doesn't change the fact that you are a brilliant lawyer. I wouldn't be standing here if that wasn't so.
You're sweet, Augustus. But just let me sulk or tell me something to get my mind off of it. Something big, something shocking, something...
Esperanza came back.
Oh, wow. Now that is a little bigger than I anticipated. Why did she come back?
I don't know. I think she just wanted to rub her success on her new cell phone in my face.
Is that all?
Yes.
It better be, Augustus. I cannot protect you again if you're getting involved with her. We barely made it out of that courtroom the first time.
Hey, Dr. Joyner, can we talk?
Monty, this is my colleague, Noreen Alcorn. Noreen, this is my assistant, Montreal Dubois.
Monty is fine.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Monty. You've got things shaping up here quite nicely in this lab. Very good job.
Well, I pride myself on my work ethic, miss. And anything for Dr. Joyner. He's really looking out for me. He got me into medical school here.
Monty.
Oh, did he now? How generous of you, Augustus.
Well, Monty is very bright.
I'm sure. Will you still be assisting the lab while attending school here?
If I'm allowed.
Well, I should be going. I work over in the School of Law, Monty. You should stop by to say hi sometime. Office 312B. I can tell you some embarrassing stories about this one.
I'll walk you back to your office.
Nice meeting you again.
Likewise.
Oh, I believe I left my keys. I'll go back and grab them. Monty, be careful, okay? Be careful of her.
Okay.
Did you find them?
Yes, I found them. I'll be seeing you, Monty. Office 312B.
Some people just come with a warning sign. Esperanza's one of them. People just know that a woman like that needs a disclaimer. Later, Monty was visited by a frequent after-hours guest at the lab. No one usually sees a janitor, but with Monty living there, he sees everyone that comes and goes.
Young man! Young man!
What?
This lab is closed, young man. Nobody's supposed to be in here.
I work here.
Well, you're not very good at your job, napping all on tables like that.
I fell asleep studying.
And studying or not, I need to mop. So, watch your feet.
Yes, sir. Is that the game playing?
Yeah. Packers versus the Steelers. Packers up by 6.
The Steelers are gonna take it.
Oh, you think so?
Sir, I know so. I know my football.
Young man, I'll put $5 against that.
You own old timer?
So, are you the reason it's been less chaos around here?
What do you mean?
I mean, why there ain't been no scalpels, guts, and cigarette butts all over the floors?
Yeah, that's me. I'm the lab assistant.
The lab assistant? What'd that mean? You the brains around here?
No, sir. It means I do the grunt work of picking up and setting out the tools and organizing everything.
And what's that you was reading there?
Some of Dr. Joyner's anatomy books. I'm going to start going to school here on Monday, and I'm a couple months behind, so I'm just trying to catch up.
Well, I'll be damned. Working the lab and going to school here? So you go be a doctor who cleans up after himself, I presume.
Yes, sir. I believe so. Just gotta start school and graduate first.
You'll do it. You seem like a smart young man. I believe in you.
I really appreciate that, sir. I'm Monty.
Joe. Janitor Joe, as the yuppies around here like to call me.
Good evening, Monty. And Mr. Janitor.
Excuse me. Ain't nobody supposed to be here this late. So I have to ask you to leave.
Oh, Joe, this is...
I am one of the benefactors of the school, and I will be talked to like such. Turn off that radio.
And now that you mention it, I do think I saw your picture out front on one of them plaques.
Sir, you can go now.
I ain't done mopping.
If you want to keep your job and mop in this facility another day, I suggest you leave.
Yes, ma'am. I'll be back for my $5, Monty.
See you around, Joe.
You need to be mindful of who you make friends with, Monty. The goal is to network up.
How did it go?
How'd what go?
How did selling the...
What? Selling what, Monty? Lesson one. Don't speak of it. You never know who's listening.
That sounds a bit paranoid for someone who does her business out of a building with her face and name on it.
Do you want your face and name on a building someday?
Sorry?
Don't be. That was a real question, Monty. Do you want your face and name on a building?
I guess so.
That drives me insane. You're already starting to sound like Augustus.
How?
He is lukewarm on everything important. If I ask you what you want, you had better be damn sure what that is, because that is the only way anyone will ever give it to you. So what do you want, Monty?
Career-wise?
Anything.
I want that Rolex on your wrist.
My Rolex?
Is it real?
Don't insult me, Monty.
Okay, then I want your Rolex.
Okay. It's all yours. So now that we have figured out that you're a man of good taste, what else do you want? That's bigger than jewelry.
I want my name on 7 buildings.
Excellent. And what else?
And I want a procedure named after me.
Easy. Done. It's yours.
And I want a nice home for me and my little sister to live in. One that can't be taken away from us. One that she can grow up in with some stability.
That is beautiful. Hold on to that. Hold on to her. Family is all you have because others betray and deceive you and will take what is yours and claim it as their own if you let them. If you trust me, I will help you make all of that a reality for you. And what is your sister's name?
Aaliyah.
Aaliyah. How beautiful. I want to make you and Aaliyah's dreams come true, Monty. Let's first start with your share of the money from our last encounter.
How much is it?
$1,600, but I'm going to give you my share this time and double that to $3,200. But don't tell Augustus. I don't want him to get jealous or anything.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I just look at you and I believe in you, Monty. You are worth so much more than life has given you. Never forget that.
Thank you, Esperanza.
Of course.
Do you know someone named Jennifer Nguyen?
I do not think so. Why?
She's a detective. She came here asking a bunch of questions and asking about you.
Me?
Yeah. She's been doing some digging on you, and she's heard you're back in town. She said something weird about mice returning back to where they find food or something. But we didn't tell her anything, I swear.
Mice? Mice. Thank you for letting me know.
Of course.
And because a promise is a promise, this Rolex is yours.
Wow. A real Rolex. Never thought I'd see the day.
That's just the beginning.
Okay.
Esperanza has a way of winning people over. She's quite generous. Gift giving is one of her love languages. At the time, I'd never seen her in person. The closest we'd ever come in contact was a few months ago when... Detective Jennifer Nguyen, November 10th, 1998. It'll be 1999 before my food gets here, but that's beside the point. I'm going through the fourth box of files on Esperanza Nogueira. This woman is like Carmen Sandiego. No one knows her name, but everyone describes the same 6-foot-tall woman with a thick Spanish accent. There are files and files on places she's popped up and recognizable companies and brands that you'd be mortified to know she'd sold to. How is she doing it without teleporting? She must really be a witch. Finally, what took you so long? Is Mike Bunso in here?
Did you even put chopsticks in the bag? Where are you going? My little chum better be in here. Christ, those delivery guys move like they stole something. All right, this is Detective Jennifer Nguyen about to smother herself in delicious Vietnamese food. How in the world do you open this thing? I laugh about it now, but I really wanted that banseo. But like I said, mice have a habit of making their way back to where they know there's food. And Esperanza left me a beautiful little sign in my dinner to let me know she was back. Smack dab in my dinner was a little mouse, squeaking for dear life as it tried to pry himself off of a sticky trap, inadvertently ripping himself apart. It's so nice to get fan mail.
That was episode 2 of Cash for Carnage, and I can't wait to hear what happens next. Please join us next week for episode 3, titled Friends and Ethics. Featured in this week's episode were Donovan Woods as Montreal Monty Dubois, Nedra Dixon as Noreen Alcorn, Walter Coppedge as Dr. Augustus Joyner, Vanessa Severo as Esperanza Nogueta, Kristen Starks as Aaliyah Dubois, Justin McCoy as Joe and Jackson Vega, and Ivy Bowie as Detective Jennifer Nguyen. This series is written by Khalif J. Gillette. Laron Cooper is our sound designer, and I am Bree Woods, your host and director. Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is made possible with support from listeners like you. For more information about supporting Kansas City Actors Theater, visit kcactors.org/donate. Our program sponsors are the Estelle S. and Robert A. Long Ellis Foundation, Arts KC, the Missouri Arts Council, the National Endowment for the Arts, Theater League, and the Braydenthal Snyder Foundation. And we'd like to give a special thanks to Mark and Valerie Andrus. We'll catch you next week at noon, right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, and wherever podcasts are consumed. As always, thanks for listening. And until next time, stay healthy and stay tuned.